It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
That seems to me like government is establishing a religion.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
If you give people rights, women's rights, gay rights, whatever, there can't be equal rights if there's special rights.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
Surveys show that people still really prefer freedom versus force.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson, and be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MUNSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. Thank you to each and every one of you for listening. Today, live with purpose, live with intention, strive for excellence, and take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. And thank you to each and every one of you for contributing to support our show. And I get to work with a really amazing team. That is producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie, and all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. Happy Tuesday to you, producer Steve.
And happy Tuesday to you. I gotta wait. I'm anxious eager to meet these people that you speak of someday.
Well, you're going to. Yeah, that's true. In person, we have not all gotten together, but I think that we're going to get most of us together here very soon. I'm very excited about that, Steve.
Reminds me of Michael Pelka and Angie Austin. You know, he's in Delaware. She's here in the Denver area. And for as long as they've been doing their show together, they've never been in the same room.
Really? They've never met in person?
Nope, not in person. Nope.
But they clearly know each other very, very well because their show is most entertaining, most informative. So they do a really great job. It's amazing what technology does these days. It is truly amazing. We have a lot to be grateful for. There's also a lot of issues out there that we're working to get our brains around. That's why we do this show, because we look at these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you shouldn't have to force people to do that. And there's a lot of force going around these days, and it is it's truly, truly amazing. The Elite Eight is, let's see, two games were last night, right, Steve? And two games are tonight.
Yeah, let me give you a little summary here. The two games last night were Oregon State and Houston. Houston took that one, and then Baylor took it to Arkansas, which is kind of a surprise in my mind. Tonight, let's see, I'm looking at the right column here. Yeah, USC and Gonzaga and UCLA and Michigan tonight.
Okay. And then let's see, the semifinal game is on Saturday, and the championship is on Monday. And Hooters Restaurants is doing some great specials because it is March Madness. They said, catch these great deals before they bounce out of here. And they have specials, also to-go specials. And that to-go specials is buy 20 wings, get 10 for free. And that's through the 5th. So that is through next Monday as we are watching the Final Four here. You can get all kinds of information about Hooters Restaurants by going to my website. That's Kim Munson, MUNSON.com, and just click on the Sponsors tab. You'll see all these great people that I get to work with, and be sure and do business with them because they're one of the reasons why we are on this show.
Hey, Kim, did we not determine that there were two types of March Madness going down? There was on the basketball court, but there was also the March Madness where you put your foot through your TV, so you had to go to Hooters to watch the other March Madness.
That is true. I don't think that they have any politics over there at Hooters Restaurants on their television, so those televisions are safe. But it is Holy Week. Easter is this weekend. A Good Friday, obviously, is Friday. And so we've got some very special guests planned for you as we're finishing going through Holy Week here. And a young guy, Chris Tubbs, who has started a patriotic Bible study, is going to be our guest in segments 3 and 4. And because of that, I thought I want to get some founders' quotes on faith. And Patrick Henry, you know him. He was an American attorney, planner, politician, and orator, best known for his declaration to the Second Virginia Convention, "Give me liberty or give me death." He was a founding father, and he served as the first and sixth post-colonial governor of Virginia. And this is what he said: "Being a Christian is a character which I prize far above all this world has or can boast. The Bible is a book worth more than all the other books that were ever printed. This is all the inheritance I can give to my dear family. The religion of Christ can give them one which will make them rich indeed. And I tell you, Steve, it's really interesting. Christianity is, I feel, it's really under assault in America today.
There's no doubt about it. And not just America, and some other places of the world, too. It's almost breathtaking, not in a good way, to see how far these regimes will go to suppress Christianity.
And I think, you know, one of the things that the Judeo-Christian worldview and America are the American idea are very closely entwined. And we have asked how Americans have actually gone to other, well, first of all, you talk about the Revolutionary War, where the colonists said we wanted to be free. But they generally, when they put their life on the line, they realized that there was something bigger out there. And we've seen that with the American spirit throughout the Civil War and World War I and World War II and all of our men and women that have stepped forward and pledged the last full measure of devotion for our country. And many times, I'm speaking 30,000-foot view because each person is different. But this idea that there's something bigger out there has been, and their faith, our faith in God has really, I think, been one of the reasons why Americans have gone and stood against evil and tyranny throughout our history, Steve. I really think that that's a key component.
Well, your comment, there is something bigger out there. Maybe that's one of the reasons the U.S. of A. has started to struggle so much in the last several decades, because right now it's the me generation, and there really is nothing bigger than me. So you think the two things, the two concepts, the mindsets, the approaches are like oil and water.
Well, and we talk about this all the time, though. I think that there is a great awakening. I think that we talk about the veil coming off, being unmasked, about all this that's been percolating underneath, under the culture. And I think that there is a great awakening, because I think the human spirit realizes, I think, that there's something bigger out there. But we're going to talk some more about that in the third and fourth segment. In the second segment, David Williams, and he is the Taxpayers Protection Alliance, is going to talk about this whole fight on the filibuster, which is important that we know about that. We'll talk to Chris Cantwell here in just a minute. But our bill of the day, this is Senate Bill 21-134, and it is regarding retail liquor stores additional licenses. And in Colorado, under current law, a retail liquor store licensee that was licensed on or before January 1, 2016, and a Colorado resident, is permitted to obtain one additional retail liquor store license on or after January 1, 2017. Hey, Chris Cantwell, how are you today?
I am good, Kim. How are you?
Good. It is Holy Week, and we're going to be highlighting some different charities throughout the week. And I wanted to ask you, what is your favorite charity?
That's a great question. So two that really come to mind and come to my heart are always going to be related to kids, and I love what St. Jude's and Shriners Hospital for Kids do to take care of kids and to help pay the bills when families can't afford the care for their sick little kiddos. So those always come to heart. But the group I donate to the most, and specifically BC before COVID, is Junior Achievement. I love teaching at Junior Achievement, and Junior Achievement really focuses on entrepreneurship, personal finance, economics, you know, those things that they don't teach in school today. And I love to get in the classroom and teach those kids about things like being an entrepreneur and running a business, and what does it mean to run a business, and what does success mean, and personal finance. I mean, American Family Furniture or American Furniture Warehouse, got that messed up.
Uh-huh.
They've got a great room in the back of the location there off in Thornton off of I-25 at 58 that has a whole Junior Achievement Park set up, and kids come in for about a half a day, and they go through this exercise learning about personal finance, running businesses, and I love to participate in that. So Junior Achievement's one that's close to my heart.
Boy, setting kids up for success, that is really, I think, an important component of our education system, and that they do really great work there. Chris, you're in the business of helping people buy and sell their businesses. And what's happening over in that arena? We just saw something that came through on the Denver Business Journal that the SBA flagged some PPP loans, about 190,000 of them, and is deploying some new tech to address them. Is it difficult for these small businesses that got these PPP loans, or what are you seeing?
Yeah, you know, we're in our second phase of PPP loans, and it's about half the volume of the first round. So there are, like a lot of these restaurants and event-related businesses that still can't fully open that are taking advantage of the PPP loans, so that's great to see. I heard you talking about liquor stores earlier here in the show, and we sell liquor stores. In fact, I'm helping a buyer right now sell a liquor store or purchase a liquor store. So there's a ton of activity going on. You know, businesses are starting to kind of get a little healthier again, which is great to see. But there's a ton of buyers in the market looking for great opportunities. And I'm often asked, who's our average buyer and who's kind of the average seller? And the average seller for us, our average client, is the baby boomers, people that are in their 60s and 70s and have had their businesses for maybe a couple of decades. And they're looking to sell and retire. And the average buyer is probably in their late 30s, mid-40s, that has been in the corporate world for maybe 20 years, and they want to be an entrepreneur and work for themselves, and they're looking for businesses to buy.
Well, how can people reach out to you to talk about the portfolio businesses that are available?
Thanks, Kim. Yeah, they can call me, 844-SELL-BIZ, B-I-Z, 844-SELL-BIZ, or find all of my contact information on your website.
That's great. Hey, happy Easter to you and your family, Chris Cantwell, and we will talk to you soon.
Sounds good. Thanks, Kim. You too.
Okay, and we will be right back with David Williams.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com. As well, on the line with me is David Williams. He is the president of Taxpayers Protection Alliance. And we wanted to talk with him about this battle going on in Congress right now, in the Senate, about killing the filibuster. David Williams, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. And there is a lot happening in Washington, D.C., and not a lot of it's good. I mean, I don't think any of it's good right now. We're talking about a lot of spending. And we're talking about getting rid of the filibuster, which could just open the door for massive amounts of spending on the Green New Deal and a bunch of other things.
Well, tell us what the danger is. Explain the filibuster to people, because everyday people, I'm not sure, totally understand what it is.
Yeah, so we all think of the filibuster as Mr. Smith goes to Washington and he gives this really long speech, impassioned speech. It's actually a lot more boring than that, but it's important. It requires the Senate to have 60 votes to move legislation to a final vote on a piece of legislation. And what that effectively means is that there has to be compromise or has to be buy-in from the other party before legislation that comes from the House of Representatives to be voted on in the Senate. And it really provides a bit of a cooling-off period of legislation that's coming from the House that may just be outrageous or just unnecessary. So it's really a good, you know, we have a system of checks and balances, and the way that I look at the filibuster is it is a check and a balance.
Well, now, is that all legislation? I know that I should know the answer to this, but I thought that some things can be passed with just, 51 votes, right?
Well, so there's something called budget reconciliation, which is kind of a special way to put legislation through, and it has to be budget neutral, and it's usually just spending and taxation bills that can go through reconciliation. So that's one way of getting just the 51 votes. Now, the when a vote comes up in the Senate, after it gets through the first process of getting the 60 votes, then you have a simple majority. It's just getting to the point where it actually comes to the floor in the Senate and there's a vote. So, yes, I mean, traditionally it's 51 votes, but to get to that point, for it to come actually to the floor, you do need the 60 votes.
And most of the
confusing
time, they get the 60 votes on that. Correct? Okay. But what about this big spending bill that just went through? Wasn't it 50-50 with Kamala Harris casting the tie vote, or what happened with that?
Yeah, it was, and it was through this budget reconciliation, and that is something that was very frustrating, to say the least, because we wanted it, you know, Taxpayers Protection Alliance wanted this to go through the filibuster process, but because of, you know, these weird rules that the House and Senate have, they were able to push that legislation through. And listen, we're concerned about this because this is budget reconciliation is supposed to only be used for very certain pieces, you know, a few certain pieces of legislation, but the Democrats want to open that up to everything. And, you know, again, to use this budget reconciliation, it has to be just taxation, has to be spending, and there can't be policy riders. And it's very specific and very narrow what you can use it for. And there's a lot of challenges. And you may remember that the $15 an hour minimum wage was not included because the parliamentarian in the Senate said it's not germane to the bill. And, you know, so that's why that was ruled out of order. So there are a lot of hurdles in the budget reconciliation, but it still is a tool, and a very dangerous tool that Congress has right now.
Well, wasn't Obamacare passed under a budget reconciliation as well, or not?
It absolutely was, and you know, and that's a problem because it transformed our healthcare sector in a very bad way. I mean, we saw premiums go up, and we saw a lot of negative effects of Obamacare, and that's why, you know, it's important to have, you know, buy-in from the other side. That's why, you know, the budget reconciliation is an end around the filibuster. And I personally, I think it's very dangerous for the country to be able to do that, especially when you're transforming one part of the economy, you know, so much. Listen, if you want to name a post office, you know, who cares, right? 51 votes. But we're talking about health care. We're talking about Green New Deal. We're talking about these things that are going to transform this economy, this country, and have, you know, a massive effect on taxpayers.
Well, out here in Colorado, David, they're looking at a public option. And what happens is when government gets involved in this, and this would be public option on health care, is the quality goes down, the access becomes limited, and the costs go up. And we saw that under Obamacare. Now, have the Republicans ever messed around with the filibuster?
So they have, to a certain extent, that they and it's really the same thing that Democrats have done, is that when it comes to voting for agency heads, you know, Department of, you know, Commerce, they will say, you know, get rid of the filibuster for that. But the Republicans have actually been pretty good when it comes to keeping the filibuster for a lot of these other pieces of legislation. And you mentioned, you know, the public option in Colorado and health care. I mean, look at the vaccine rollout. This has been fascinating, is that we had the private sector within a year come up with two or three different vaccines. And the choke point is now the government is getting the vaccines out and getting it so people can get vaccinated. So the government is always the choke point when it comes to these issues. And the District of Columbia, where we're located, has one of the lowest vaccination rates in the country, which is, you know, unacceptable. So, yeah, the government is never the solution. They're always the problem.
I find that interesting. Now, I really believe in informed consent regarding these vaccines, and also no coercion and no force on that. And that's a whole nother issue. But I do find it interesting that the District of Columbia would have, is that because that there's a lack of availability of the vaccines at the District of Columbia, or what's the reason? Do you know?
So we aren't being told what the reason is. The mayor, Mayor Bowser, has not held any press conferences or told us why there's such a low vaccination rate. And listen, I agree with you when it comes to vaccines, is that this is a personal choice for everybody. And, you know, we should not be required to have vaccine passports, that because some people just prefer not to get it. And I respect that 100%. I mean, you know, this is their choice, right? But when you're talking about the mayor of Washington, D.C., she was so quick to criticize President Trump with everything that he did that she has been silent with Joe Biden and the lack of vaccines that the district is receiving, which I find just appalling, to say the least.
Yes, the hypocrisy, we've had a lot of hypocrisy in big doses lately, but let's go back over here to the filibuster. And looks like Biden and Harris are pulling out all stops. Joe Manchin, who is the one of the senators from West Virginia, is probably receiving tremendous pressure to kill the filibuster. And Patty, my researcher, just found a headline recently that it looks like Biden is nominating Manchin's wife to a key position in his administration. What's your thoughts on that, David Williams?
Oh, unbelievable. You know, welcome to Washington, D.C. Welcome to the swamp. You know, this is how things are done. This is how the sausage is made, right, is that Joe Biden is giving this really nice administration position to Manchin's wife. And listen, we know why he's doing this. You know, he's doing this because he wants to get rid of the filibuster. He wants to make sure that he gets an extra vote, because it was Joe Manchin who stopped the $15 an hour minimum wage. It was him and Senator Sinema from Arizona. So he knows where the pressure points are. And what she is, and she's being appointed to the Appalachian Regional Commission, which is this agency that gives out earmarks. So there's so many layers here as to what's happening with this appointment. It's really disgusting, but it just shows you what happens in Washington, D.C. And of course, you know, talking about the filibuster, the left has done this. They are playing the race card. You know, it took them a while. It took them about a month, but they have finally played the race card and said the filibuster is racist. Well, it isn't, because Senator Warren has used the filibuster to stop legislation, and other Democrats have used it and have endorsed the filibuster. So, you know, I guess Senator Warren and Kamala Harris are racist because they've actually supported the filibuster in the past.
Well, David Williams, we have just about a minute left on this. And with what I see happening here in Colorado, Colorado seems to be the petri dish for a lot of really bad legislation. But what I'm seeing here, and also in Washington, D.C., I am very, very concerned about our country. I'm very concerned about what we are passing on to our children and our grandchildren. I'm concerned about the safety of our country. You're there in Washington, D.C. What's your thoughts on that?
I am also very concerned about the future of this country in a lot of ways, especially economically and fiscally. And that's why, you know, as you see legislation coming up, I encourage people to call their member of Congress, their senators, their representatives. Let your voice be heard, and do it in a way that's respectful and in a way that really affects change, because, you know, we have members of Congress that are listening. And look what happened in November. Republicans gained seats in the House. So we're close to, you know, taking back the House of Representatives, where, you know, we can, you know, bring back some common sense. And listen, the Republicans didn't do a great job when they were in power, but we need some sort of check. We can't have Democrats or Republicans control everything at this point. And that's why, with a Democrat in the White House, we need at least one of these chambers of Congress to be run by a Republican, so we can pump the brakes on a lot of these big spending programs.
Right, and it's Democrats who are in power in all of this. And one other thing. Here in Colorado, we have two Democrat senators, Hickenlooper and Bennett, And I think a lot of us feel that they just don't listen. Would you still recommend that we reach out to them, or should we reach out and try to put pressure on Manchin and Sinema or some people like that?
All of the above. And, you know, look what happened in Iowa. A race was won by 6 votes. Don't forget to vote. I mean, every vote is so important. I can't stress that enough. So, you know, don't stay at home. Go out and vote, you know, when it's time to vote. But call your member of Congress. Your voice needs to be heard.
Okay. David Williams, how can people get more information about your work?
We're at protectingtaxpayers.org, and there's a way you can contact us. If you see waves in Colorado or anywhere, please contact us, because, you know, we want to be a voice of people across the country.
Okay, and one more time, what's that website?
Protectingtaxpayers.org.
Protectingtaxpayers.org. David Williams, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
And Jason McBride, Senior VP with Presidential Wealth Management. Economic freedom, political freedom is so important, and you are in the business of helping people with their own personal economy. What is happening over in your arena right now?
Well, Kim, it continues to kind of be a market that's kind of two-headed to some degree here. Again, yesterday, the Dow performed fairly well. Wasn't a great big move, but up about 100 points, while on the other side of the tracks, the NASDAQ, which has been struggling a little bit lately, was down about 79. So we've been seeing this for a few weeks now, where it looks like some of the helium is coming out of these overinflated, crazy stocks that have gone straight to the stratosphere, really without much to brag about as far as earnings or anything goes, while some of that money seems to be rotating into relatively at least cheaper stocks, some of your big blue chips, some of the value-oriented small cap stocks. And sometimes it doesn't take very much money, Kim, to come out of one group into another that's been somewhat neglected to, you know, create a pretty good move in that other group.
Well, and that's why I think it's a good idea for people to sit down with you and do a discovery session, because there is, there's always risk in the market. There's always opportunity. And sitting down with you and talking about their own personal risk assessment and what their goals are is very important. How can people reach you, Jason McBride?
Kim, the best way to get a hold of us to make an appointment is to just give us a call, 303-694-1600. That's 303-694-1600.
Jason McBride, thank you so much. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Have a great show, Kim.
And we'll be right back with Chris Tubbs.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter, and you can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. Thank you to each and every one of you who are contributing to support the show, to keep our independent voice out there looking at these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. On the line with me is Chris Tubbs, and he is the founder of a patriotic Bible study. It's really an exciting thing that he is doing. And Chris Tubbs, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, and Chris, I was trying to figure out what generation you were, and I think you're a Generation Z-er. Is that what they're calling you these days?
Well, technically, I'm actually a millennial. It's kind of like it's a weird cutoff date, but like I'm right on the edge of being a Gen Z and a millennial, so I'm technically a millennial.
Okay. And millennials get a kind of a bad rap, I think. And you're anything but what I think the perception is when people are talking about millennials. And I have a lot of millennials in my life, and they do like to challenge that narrative out there. But you founded something very interesting, a patriotic Bible study. What was your inspiration in doing this?
Yeah, so to give you a little bit of context, as you know, the year 2020 was just really, really crazy. In the beginning of the year, I was looking at the news and watching all the coronavirus stuff going on. I just wasn't having it, and I just saw, the entire world really go into hysteria, and I was baffled because I was like, really? Like, we've never had anything like this, and people are getting scared of this. We don't even know what it is. And so, as we were going out through the year, we were going through the lockdowns, the shutdowns and everything like that. June came around and we saw what they were calling peaceful protests, but the looting, the rioting, everything was going on. I was extremely upset. And so, I did what for me was the best thing was, is I just kind of went to my happy place. I just went to God and asked him, okay, what the heck do we do about this? Because I was just kind of like going crazy. I was like, okay, this is absolutely nuts. This year is just really, really weird. And so the one thing that he told me, he said, son, it is now time for you to teach people about me and to teach people about the truth about America. And I was like, okay, all right. I was really taken aback by that. But
how do I do this?
Yeah, exactly. But it really hit me hard, and I was like, okay. And so I just stuck on that thought, and I was just thinking on it for a while. And then around August time, he said, okay, son, it is now time to start a Bible study. And I said, okay, I don't know how that's going to look, what that's going to look like, or anything like that. But as I started to, kind of formulate how it would look like and everything, I asked one of my friends, my great friends, Greg McCrimmon. He's an amazing guy. He's a believer. He is a diehard patriot for America. And so I asked him, I was like, hey, man, would you like to be helping me within what I'm going to be calling this, a patriotic Bible study. And it's just really teaching people, the truth about how America is literally founded by the Bible. I mean, 100% founded by the Bible. A lot of the political science people that were doing the studies on how everything was formed and how the founding fathers got their ideas, they said about around 34% of what they quoted, was from the Bible. And then, all the rest of the people that they were looking after, the Blackstones, Montagues and everything, they were quoting the Bible themselves. And so I got inspired by that, and I just wanted to show people how awesome America is because of what we're founded on. So that's how it got started for me.
And so you're doing this on Facebook, or how is this working, Chris Tubbs?
Yeah, so we're doing it two ways. We're doing it all on Facebook Live. We were doing that, and then we were also doing it in person. And so, we were taking what we were doing from like Facebook Live, and I would put it onto like my YouTube. I would put it onto my Rumble channel. I would put it onto my podcast, and But, you know, to me, you know, if people can't join it, like, on virtually or anything like that, then to me, I think the biggest benefit they can get is becoming or coming in person, because, you know, especially with what was going on in 2020, people were just isolated. And so I think the best way is to be coming in person, just because you can get that close contact with everybody. So that's how we were doing it.
Well, I really think that in person is important. This whole social distancing shouldn't be called social distancing. It's physical distancing that they have, you know, been pushing on us. And I'll tell you, Chris Tubbs, I find it so crazy that you can only go in one door now, an entrance in a business, and you have to go out the other door. This is just, it's just kind of mind-boggling to me of what has happened here in America, and I do think that it is important that we get together. And so how can people get more information about the Bible study?
Yeah, I think the best way right now, as I'm going to be continuing building my website and everything like that, is just to email pbstudy1776@gmail.com. That is where I've been emailing people all the details of upcoming events, and just kind of, and I've also been, for the people that have not been joining in person, because there's been people that have been wanting to join pretty much all across the nation for this, because they see the value of it. They see the value of learning about America. And so they can just join at pbstudy1776@gmail.com. And they could just let me know, you know, their name and where they are, and then we can get them the details for the future events.
Okay. Now, Chris Tubbs, I'm going to go to break early. I want to hold you through the break, and we want to talk a bit more about maybe some of the big things that you have learned as you've gone through this study. So we're going to go to break a little early, and we will be right back with Chris Tubbs.
Controlling your own destiny. There are a lot of unknowns on the horizon with the new administration. Predovich & Company is here to help. Trusted professionals for all your bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting needs. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. They've been helping her for years. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company works with clients from anywhere in the United States. Give them a call at 303-791-3000 to put Predovich & Company to work for you. Call 303-791-3000 today.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.
That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. On the line with me is Chris Tubbs. He is a founder of a patriotic Bible studies. He's right on that cusp between a millennial and a Gen Zer, I think that it is. And Chris, you said that you were inspired that to start this patriotic Bible study, and the founders have gotten such a bad rap, particularly from what is being taught to millennials. And so this is kind of groundbreaking on what you're doing. But tell us a little bit about what you've seen. I guess let's start with that, with millennials and Christianity and our founders. What would you say is the big perception out there right now, Chris?
Are you talking about just more of like what the millennials think of the founding fathers?
Yeah, because I think that they have really gotten, the founding fathers have gotten a very bad rap in our education system. So I think a lot of millennials don't understand really what the founders did, or what's your perception on that, Chris?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that I've seen is that they just don't know who the founding fathers are. You know, at least from what I remember, I wasn't really taught a lot in school, you know, through elementary school, through middle school, high school, even a little bit of college, of just who the founding fathers were. And so when I talk about this stuff to other people, you know, like around my age, they just really don't know. They just don't know who the founding fathers are, you know. And look, I'm not the one that's going to be able to name every single one of them. I'm just not, I can't do that. But you know, looking at some of our big time people like Ben Franklin, you know, George Washington, you know, even like John Adams, like those types of guys, they were absolutely incredible. You know, they believed in God. They believed in just the founding, or like they believed in the biblical principles, and they understood and read the Bible a ton, you know? And so like, it's funny because like they would just throughout their speeches, you know, looking at some of their speeches, you know, while they were coming up with the Constitution and everything like that, they would be quoting Bible verses and you wouldn't even be knowing it now, you know, nowadays, because they read it so much back then that they could just name off and just talk about a certain verse and just insert it into any sentence that they want. And, you know, people would understand what the heck they were talking about by back then, because everybody back then really, they were very fond, they understood the Bible a lot more than we do today. And so that's the biggest thing that I see right now.
Well, and that is because they read it. And I was challenged to actually start daily Bible reading, and I have to admit that I have not been as disciplined about that recently, and it's like note to self, I need to start that again. But I did actually read it from cover to cover. That doesn't mean that I got everything, that I understood everything, but it did help me, Chris, with context, and as you mentioned, then you can see through our foundational writings just the influence there. And I would actually highly recommend that people challenge themselves to do that. And you know, there's parts of it that are kind of boring, and but there's parts of it that it's a historical document, but it's also it's a story of humankind. And I think it's also the story of God continually searching to want to have a relationship with each and every person. I think that's the beauty of it. And so just to take the Bible for just like one verse or whatever, I would challenge people not to do that, Chris. I think it needs to be a bigger context. Your thoughts?
No, I totally agree with that. I 100% agree with that. Because if you look at it, even within the church of today, they will take one verse out of context, and then they will try to twist it. They will try to make it to whatever they want it to be. And it's like, no, gosh dang it, no. Can you please read the entire verse? Can you please give some context of to what this person was saying, what God was saying, you know? And it's totally true. I totally agree with that. You know, a lot of the times people take it out of context, you know, and they have this the entire world has this weird view of God and seeing him as more of like the lightning bolt thrower, you know, and wants to just punish people. But the truth is about God is that he's a loving God, and that he wants what is best for us, and he wants a relationship with us.
See, I think that's the key. And Chris, Christianity has been given a bad reputation, Christians have been given a reputation of people that want to control your life, that are judging you and telling you what you can and cannot do. And certainly human beings, Christians are human beings, and that is a human trait that can happen. But do you not find it absolutely astounding that the veil is now off, that it is not Christians that are telling you how you should live your life, what you have to do, and trying to control every aspect of your life? It is actually the radical, regressive activists that want to do that. And I find that so interesting that still Christians get this perception of they want to control your life, but then look at who's really wanting to do that, and it is those that are not Christians that want to do that. What's your thoughts on that, Chris?
Yeah. It's weird because you're seeing a lot of codependency within the world right now, you know, just people relying on other people to make them happy, you know, and that's not really our job, you know, that's God's job. And so at least from what I've seen is that more and more Christians, in my opinion, are becoming more of very passive, you know, and it goes against what God has called us to do. He has called us to be assertive within our own lives, but also within within our schools, within our businesses, within church, within just everyday life. And, you know, to be real, to be frank, we just got to take responsibility. We have to be taking responsibility for our own lives, for ourselves, you know. And again, the key is to having that relationship with God. You know, that's what changes everything, really.
Well, and that really is the key to Christianity. And of course, we're in Holy Week,
yeah,
and Easter is on Sunday. And as I mentioned, the Bible is a continual story of God reaching out and wanting to have a relationship with each and every one of us. And I jokingly say, I don't mean to be sacrilegious, but as God has watched mankind, and you see this throughout the Bible, it's kind of like, now don't make me come down there. Don't make me come down there. But ultimately, he did. And the cross overcame this sin and death so that people can have a relationship with God. And in doing so, people can then live boldly, not passively, but boldly, Chris. Your comment.
Yeah. No, I totally agree with that, you know, because when people understand, you know, what Jesus was doing on earth, you know, he wanted to show people who God was, you know, and he wanted to show that God was a very loving Father. And again, that he wants what's best for us, that he's, you know, God made us in his likeness, in his image, you know, and because of Jesus, you know, having the Holy Spirit, he showed us how to work with the Holy Spirit in our lives, you know, and you know, the Holy Spirit is there to comfort us, to give us guidance, to bring remembrance to things for us. And, you know, to me, like, and that's kind of like why I was getting so frustrated, you know, in the very beginning of 2020, is because it was like, I even saw believers, I saw Christians that like, kind of just like take a step back, you know, and not use their authority that God has given us onto this earth. And I was like, what? Like, are you serious? Like, oh my goodness. Like, yeah. But as I started to really understand what people were thinking and going through, like, I understood what was going on in their hearts, you know? And so, like, for me, my biggest thing is, you know, I do a lot of work with the youth, you know, one of the networks that I work through, Faith Ministries Network, you know, we do a lot of youth camps. And so we teach the kids, like, hey, you know, God is a good God. You know, Jesus has given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. You know, he had the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is here to help us, you know, throughout our lives. And, you know, when you trust God, when you have a relationship with him, that's where your life gets great. You know, that's where it gets really, really good. Because, you know, like, when you understand who God is, when you understand and grasp his love for you, that's what changes and gives people transformation in their hearts. So, yeah.
Well, and I think that is another thing is human beings do want to be loved. And unfortunately, yeah, human beings let down other human beings. But God never really, he doesn't let us down. Now, that doesn't mean that life is easy, that life goes the way we want. I mean, tragedy happens because of our humanness.
Yep.
But I found, Chris, one of the beauties of the cross is that as Christ was going through that Good Friday in the crucifixion, is that he, at that point in time, experienced everything that a human being ever could. He lost his friends.
Yeah.
People rejected him. He had no clothes. He had no money. His mother, and which is tragic to see a child die, his mother saw that. He experienced everything that we ever can on
yeah.
earth, and he overcame it. And I think that's important for people to understand as they're going through difficult times right now, Chris.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I totally agree. And I really like that point that you said. You know, he experienced everything. You know, it's true. Along with, like, all the sicknesses within the world, you know. And he took that upon himself. And because of what he did through hell, you know, he overcame it. And now, and I think what's cool, too, is that we can relate to Jesus because he was a man. He was a man on earth. You know, my pastor, you know, that I grew up with, he always said, you know, Jesus had a belly button. you know? And I always laugh at that. Yeah, I know, right? But it's true. Like, he had a belly button. He was a man. He was a man on earth. And we are able to relate to him because he was a man. And I think that's what's key within understanding, you know, the death, burial, and resurrection, is that he was a man. And everything that he did on earth through the Holy Spirit, we can do as well. And that's cool.
Well, and so going back to the founders, and before we only have a few minutes left, but again, how can people get information about this work that you're doing? What is that email?
Yes. So that email is pbstudy1776@gmail.com. Okay. That is the best way to get a hold of us, to get on updates on future events and future Patriarch Bible studies that we're going to be doing, because, you know, this isn't a one-time thing, you know, and we want to continue to teach people the truth about who God is, and teach true history, so that people can, you know, they can choose for themselves if they want to, you know, to take that and apply it into their everyday life, you know. And so, you know, the biggest thing that, you know, that I was seeing and that my heart is for is just for people just to live out their best life. And so that's our goal with this whole thing. We just want people to live their best life. So,
and that best life is one, a life of, in my view, of standing for something, standing for the American idea, standing for liberty, this idea that all men are created equal with these rights from God of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. I actually had pulled up a variety of different quotes by the founders, and it is really astounding. John Hancock, Patrick Henry, I had his quote, John Jay, George Washington, Ben Franklin, Thomas Jefferson, they all, as you mentioned, had read the Bible, and they all had a faith in Christ. And that is another thing that our kids have been taught, that was not the case. So now we have just about a minute left, Chris Tubbs. What is your final thought that you would like to leave with our listeners today?
I think the biggest thing is to do your homework, you know, do your homework, because the founders laid out these documents for us. You know, they laid out the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, and even the Bible for us, you know, you know, they gave us responsibility. They said, you know, if we want to keep the freedom in this country, we have to take responsibility, you know, and so it starts with us. And I think it starts with us just reading the Declaration of Independence, reading our Constitution, and really reading the Bible and looking for the similarities of what the founders were talking about within those documents with the Bible. And that's what I would leave with you guys, would leave with everybody. And, of course, that God loves you and that he's good.
Well, Chris Tubbs, I think it's just exciting what you're doing with this Patriotic Bible Study, and I so appreciate you reaching out to me. And I actually got to attend one of them when you were doing filming for that, and really appreciate that as well. So I wish you and your family a very happy Easter, and thank you so much for joining us.
Kim, thank you so much. This was a great opportunity, and I appreciate you and everything that you're doing here in Colorado. You're awesome. And Steve, I hope that you're feeling better, man. I hope you're feeling better.
Okay, and our quote for today is from John Hancock. And he said that the spiritual kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ may be continually increasing until the whole earth shall be filled with his glory. My friends, today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America. And I don't want no one to cry.